Welcome to Argue the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in game.
Indeed. I was just going to quickly say, and if you like the show, do give us a like and subscribe to our various channels and stuff. There's a note at the end so you can find everything.
There we go. And this week we're talking about romance, because it's 5 months till Valentine's Day, so we need to get started on this.
We're getting in early. And we're a romantic pair. I mean, come on, people must know that about... No. People must know that about us by now.
Yeah, we're the romantic type.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about the best and worst romances in video games, or what we think they are, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to kick off with one. You're probably going to roll your eyes because I'm going to say Mass Effect.
Really?
Yeah.
What a surprise. I didn't think you were into those games.
I know. I keep it under my hat, but there we go. Yeah, so Mass Effect, it'd probably be up there on most people's romantic games list, yeah. I think. I think it's a romance that really stayed with me. And I now know from reading stuff and talking to you that Dragon Age Inquisition does it better, but it was the first relationship I experienced through BioWare, and it really stayed with me. I loved that aspect of Mass Effect, and it really drove my character and her decisions all the way through the trilogy. So I just wanted to put it up there before we go on to bigger and better BioWare things.
Well, don't leave us hanging. Who was it? Who did you end up with?
I was with Caden.
The most
hated romance option. Yeah. I think it's statistically he was the least chosen.
Yeah.
Our editor John, he hated Caden. He chose to kill him.
Like when I played, it was I left Ashley to die rather than Caden, but it was really more of the lesser of two evils kind of thing.
Because
I really didn't like her that much, and ended up with Liara.
Okay, yeah, I think she's like the top romance option, I would think.
Yeah, she is. I don't know if that's just because she's the only one that you can romance if you play either gender,
I think she's just a character that people like, her and Tally.
I think she was just sort of more exotic, more exciting.
Yeah, exactly, sort of female alien, you know, people go for that.
Yeah, there weren't really that many options in the first game.
No, so they went for those ones. So Dragon Age, I just wanted to mention Mass Effect. I think I don't need to bang on about it because I do that often enough as it is.
I mean, you did that podcast the other week when I wasn't here.
So, yeah.
You know, if people want to hear your Mass Effect opinions, they only have to
look
through our back catalogue.
Exactly, and it's there.
For my best pick, I've gone for Dragon Age Inquisition, so we're having a very BioWare-heavy sort of episode this episode.
Yeah.
I can't narrow it down to a specific relationship because they're all really good in that game, except one, but I won't say which one.
Okay, I haven't played Dragon Age Inquisition, so it's now getting to the top of my list of things to play.
Fair enough. I'll look forward to see if you dislike the character I dislike as much as
okay. Or it's my top romance option.
Maybe so, although I doubt it.
Okay.
But yeah, the biggest strength of that game is it's got this really fantastic set of core characters, and they've all got their own really well-written individual relationships with the other characters as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to become attached to them in the same way, for example, that you become attached to characters in like ensemble shows like Star Trek or Buffy or whatever.
Okay.
And all of the potential romantic entanglements in it are kind of equally well written, and there's a bunch of options. I think BioWare really learned their lessons from the Mass Effect series, where you, like I say, you only get sort of two choices in the first game, depending on which gender you play as. As soon as they kind of figured out how much people enjoyed the romantic elements in that series, they expanded on them quite massively in the following games.
Okay.
So Inquisition sort of it represents the sort of end point of that, or as far as they've gotten so far.
Okay.
So there's plenty of options. They're all fully fleshed out, and they all feel really genuine. Mm-hmm. There's great LGBT representation throughout the whole game, and it's just kind of all really amazing. And it's one of the things that I'm replaying it at the moment, mm-hmm. so it's one of the things that brought me back to the game. Not specifically the romantic stuff, but just the character
interaction. Characters, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a huge sort of 60-plus hour RPG, so it does take a lot to make me want to run through all of that again.
Yeah.
And the other stuff, like the actual gameplay in it, it's good, but it's not the kind of game that I just play casually. I do sort of play it just to get to the next character section, you know?
Yeah. So it's the story and the characters, which is exactly. Just a BioWare trait with all their games, isn't it?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Do that so well.
Yeah. And what I like about it is that it kind of doesn't feel video gamey, the sort of romantic element of it. Like, particularly in the first two Mass Effect games, I think, there was this sort of sense that when you're talking to the character that you're sort of interested in or pursuing, you're just kind of doing it to level up the relationship stat, you know?
Yeah, you're trying to earn the sexy cutscene.
Exactly, which always sort of comes at the end, and it, like, represents the end of that sort of story arc within the game.
Within the single games.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously,
it does carry
there is
on
the arc, yeah.
Through the second and third ones, but it always... Except in the third one, they'd kind of changed it by this point. It does start a lot earlier, but in the second one and the first one, yeah, that's the end.
Yeah.
With this, there's much less of that. There is an element of sort of raising your approval with each character, but that kind of happens anyway and is a big part of the game anyway. And it feels more background. It doesn't really get in the way that it does in Mass Effect.
Okay, sort of a bit more organic.
Exactly. You don't feel you have to, like, run back to that character between every mission.
And bring them their favourite food or something. Yeah.
Or, and just agree with everything they say and just try to share their opinions to impress them.
Yeah.
I think the best thing about the game is it just seems to have a really much more, like, mature and progressive attitude to sex and relationships than I think any other AAA game I've played.
Okay.
It's, like, really good at exploring, like, both the personal and physical aspects of a relationship and why that relationship exists at all and how it affects the character's interactions in, like, non-romantic contexts as well.
Okay.
And it does this with, like, a really varied set of relationship dynamics because it's a lot of characters. There's a lot of options. And so, for example, one of the relationships is a BDSM-based one, where the player character takes kind of a submissive role, and that relationship starts with a discussion of limits and consent, which is, you know, kind of amazing in a huge AAA title.
Because that could go seriously wrong.
Yeah, it could. In you know, an era where we've got sort of 50 Shades of Grey, which infamously didn't cover that sort of stuff very well, and had some quite bad advice, suggested some terrible ideas. I can't think of any other game that has that sort of thing that's not, you know, a really sort of small indie or Twine game. That's, like, the main focus of it.
No.
And, like, obviously, within the context of the game, the player character is the leader of the team. So as that relationship progresses, there's stuff that explodes, like the contrast and boundaries between giving that character orders and commands on the battlefield, taking orders and commands in the bedroom.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff there which I'm not used to seeing in games, particularly not big games.
Right.
And it does make the relationships seem a lot more real and believable, and gets you kind of further invested in characters who are already pretty investable. It just does a really great job with all of that stuff. One of my favorite games because of it.
Okay, so it kind of takes what Mass Effect started and takes it to another level.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Sounds like it's definitely a game for me then.
You really should play that.
And I suppose what we can only hope that they go even further and bigger and better in Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And whatever the next
relationships. Yeah, exactly. So leading fairly neatly on from that, because you were talking about the sort of LGBT sort of representation, I thought of Chloe and Max, in brackets, way down, Warren.
So from Life is Strange,
So they became quite a big cult couple, and you know, there was lots of fan art and people really kind of shipped that couple of Chloe and Max, and I felt that the marketing for the game really shipped that couple as well, and however you interpreted the relationship, whether it was friendship or whether you thought it was a sexual relationship, the relationship was central to the plot. I interpreted it as a burgeoning romantic relationship, and I think lots of players did as well.
Yeah.
And they definitely left room for you to make that assumption.
Absolutely. And you can, depending on the way you play, that can be made explicit at the end as well. As I understand it, like the way I played it, I sort of didn't interpret it that way. I didn't interpret it as a relationship where they were going to end up together. There was sort of, there was definitely sort of a sense of, hey, this could happen, and
there's a frisson.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a sort of sense of experimentation there. And I think Chloe is explicitly said to have had a relationship with Rachel Amber before the events of the game. So
So well, I had a couple of issues with it. First, the Warren kind of love triangle that sort of wasn't really a love triangle because it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, I think it was fairly obvious that they were your two love interests. You know, Warren was always asking you out on a date, and I always wanted to go on the date, but the game kind of stopped you constantly from being able to take that route. And I think for a game that places player choice so centrally in the game, I felt that the choices when it came to relationships, it didn't matter, and you didn't have as much agency as they pretended you did. And Warren really got sidelined, and then, you know, I did kiss Warren in the diner. Yes, spoilers for Life is Strange, but you know, it was like quite a long time ago. But nothing happened as a consequence of that, really.
Neither of the endings actually sort of support what happened there. Like, whatever happens, it either didn't happen or Warren passed caring about it.
Yeah, exactly. It was so weird. And then Chloe and Max didn't really come to a satisfying conclusion either. No. You know, there was never any sort of, you know, violins and flowers. And, you know, it felt almost as if they didn't have the courage of their convictions when it came to that lesbian relationship that they'd hinted at all the way through. I know that they may have been playing with the idea of the fluid nature of sort of adolescent sexual awakening, but I just don't think they kind of brought it to a full conclusion. It wasn't satisfying.
Yeah, like I think that's sort of emblematic of quite a lot of the problems that I did have with Life is Strange. The story doesn't end in a satisfying way. I think the general consensus is that it's, up until then, it's a really kind of good game, up until basically the beginning, the end of the fourth episode, where the sort of bad guy is revealed,
and
like the end of the game. Kind of all of that stuff, it doesn't pay off very well, and it doesn't hit home. And I think the only thing you would need to do to really fix Life is Strange and make it much more of a sort of touchstone than it turned out to be would be just to fix the ending. I think that's the primary problem with it.
Yeah. The science, in inverted commas, of the ending. Which was just kind of thrown in. It's like, what? Where did that come from?
It felt like the two options they gave you were not the only sort of two options that should have existed as well, which is something that I always hate. I generally don't like games that give you a binary choice ending anyway,
because
rarely boils down to binary choices.
It kind of fell a bit short. It was kind of like the sort of Fable games did that quite often.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, do you want to make a brothel out of the orphan or turn it into an orphanage? It's just like, really? Those are my two choices. They're very extreme.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground here.
Like Bioshock did the same thing where it's either save all the little girls or actively murder all the little girls.
So anyway, that was my second one with Chloe and Matt.
Fair enough. And I've got a worst one as well. Well,
I suppose Chloe and Max was my didn't quite work.
I really liked that relationship. It just didn't pay off in a way that playing through Life is Strange, that was the reason I was playing. It wasn't for the adventure game aspect of it. That was like the absolute heart of the game for me.
Which is why it was so
disappointing that it just didn't.
Yeah, just sort of fizzled out.
Precisely. But there is a worse one. Well, there's two Earth ones. We've already done BioWare. I think the other dev that we're going
category,
for,
yeah,
is David Cage, who we have touched on before. We've already discussed Beyond Two Souls before, and that's what I'm going back to this time. I could also do Heavy Rain, which has an not equally bad, but it's still quite bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, the relationship I've gone for there is the one between Jody and Ryan, the CIA agent.
Yeah, I had to go back and watch Let's Plays to remind myself of this. And I was pretty, I was just like, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I went back and watched a couple of sort of clips of the relevant moments. Because when I was playing through it, I was sort of discussing it on Twitter and taking little clips and posting the stuff. This is what I don't like about this, or this part that I really like. And I found all the bits that I'd recorded where I just didn't get the Ryan relationship.
Yeah.
And so we're going to spoil Beyond Two Souls as well. Yeah. Ryan, during the course of the game, tricks you into killing multiple innocent people, or quote marks for innocent, but people who didn't deserve to die, and you are manipulated into killing them under false pretense.
Yeah. But he also takes her away from the only families she's ever known to join the CIA or whatever. And
when she's quite young.
Literally
as well.
Physically takes her. Yeah, she's like 17 or something, isn't she?
Yep.
And sort of, he's quite horrible about it as well. I watched that scene quite recently. I was like, wow, he really is a douche.
Yeah.
Because there was no reason for him to be so. He's like, oh, I don't want your emo whining. Come on. And actually manhandles her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So he seems to spend most of his life just doing terrible things to her.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, if you didn't go down the other romantic path, and I imagine even if you did go down that path, it will suggest this to you. At the end of the game, there's this bit where you sort of just escape the baddie's big bad base, and you've swum up through Arctic waters, and you know it's the
and you're totally fine.
Yeah, you're totally fine. He's a bit cold, but like it's great. Like he's wearing a vest. He's wearing like a diehard vest, and like they are cold, but like he should be dead.
I know exactly. It's like it's literally like Siberia or something. Isn't
yes,
it
is. There's a conversation where he's kind of trying to swing her back around to, you know, so do you love me? And, you know, you do get the option to say no. But I felt like the game was kind of, it was kind of implying that that was a bad choice or a silly choice.
Yeah.
He's like, I've never
He's redeemed
anyone.
Himself, get it?
Yeah, he hasn't. And he's got this line which is like, I've never met anyone so pig-headed. And, yeah, there is. And, you know, I wasn't that annoyed about it because I did turn him down, but she's got a really good right of reply there. She's like, she can just turn to him and say, this is the stuff that you have done to me, you know, like,
in
the past couple of months, like, let alone my whole life. And she just doesn't take it. She just sits there silently. And that really annoyed because that's not what I wanted her to do. I wanted to push him back into the water, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Do the best.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that he takes her away from her family, and then the next big scene, I can't remember if I watched all the playthrough or if I skipped a bit, but then 2 years later, she's preparing for a date with him.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I know it's 2 years later, but you're still like, wow, that's weird because...
Yeah.
And then... And the thing is, it's actually quite a nicely done scene. It's quite nicely written, the sort of awkward conversation, and they're trying to get to know each other, and they're both nervous, and they both say stupid things, and, you know, they're always saying sorry. And then, then they make it to the bedroom, and, you know, they're sort of kissing on the bed, and all, it's getting all hot and steamy. And then she pulls away, and it's like, no, I can't. And it reminds, she has sort of a flashback to, the bit in the roadhouse or whatever, where she nearly gets raped or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she's like sobbing, and he just goes, oh, okay, I'll just go then. He doesn't like pat her on the back or say, you know, are you okay? You know, was it me? Or just like, he just sits there going,
I'm gonna take off then.
I'm just gonna bounce.
I got better things to do with my Friday, but
don't watch you crying. I thought I was getting some, but obviously not.
Yeah. I think that's something we have discussed before, is the way that game is, like, it in individual scenes, it's really good, but it's almost as if they haven't bothered to connect them with the other scenes, or to figure out how the one scene connects with the next, or how two characters would actually develop in the situation.
I mean, that game is just so kind of split down the middle in terms of the arc and the character arcs and everything. There are some things that I really love about that game, and then it just goes...
Off a cliff.
It's like a Danny Boyle film. When Danny Boyle couldn't make proper films.
Well, a specific Danny Boyle film, I think. If you're thinking the same one I am.
I don't know. There are several. Yeah, oh God, yeah, exactly. It's definitely like Sunshine.
Yeah.
It's just like, where did this come from? And there was no foreshadowing for Willem Dafoe's character being this evil maniac. And I was just like, what the hell? Because his scenes are so tender with her.
Yeah.
That re-watching it, I was like... even more vehement that he would not have done that, and he would not have been that guy.
And it seems like there was plenty of opportunity to foreshadow that as well. It doesn't feel like there was... It just came out of nowhere because they couldn't put it in.
No, it's like just like they just didn't feel the need.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and the romance is just a product of that same approach.
Yeah. And I mean, I will just... briefly mention Heavy Rain's one as well.
Okay.
In which I don't have too much to say about this, mostly because I haven't played Heavy Rain in ages, and I'm not going to spoil it because I know you haven't played it either. Mm-hmm. There's a midway point through the game where the male lead and the female lead are in a motel room together, and she comes on to him, I think, rather than, as I recall, she comes on to him, and you can sort of agree to that or not. And I didn't, because it just made absolutely no sense to me, because at this point in the game, I say I'm not going to spoil it, this is an early game spoiler and basically the main plot, and so it's not really spoiling anything, but his son has been kidnapped, and...
I know that much.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not spoiling anything. And he's kind of gone off the rails. It really breaks him, and that's one of the better parts of the game, is watching him sort of degenerate as this struggle to find his son gets to him and takes its toll on him. But at this point in the game, he's, you know, he's messy, he's grown like a huge hobo beard, and he's just the least, you know, you can't understand why anyone would go for him in that state. He's he's definitely on the verge of a psychotic break.
And She
kind of just offers to have sex with him just because, I guess, just because she's the female lead and he's the male lead.
This is a movie,
I guess. Or an interactive movie, at least.
Yeah, and this is what happens now.
Yeah.
We've got some downtime. Should we just shag?
Yeah, precisely. And it just doesn't feel genuine, and it does feel kind of gross, and, you know...
Yeah.
You get the sense that, you know, sort of someone with the emotional and sexual range of a teenager has written a teenage boy's idea of what is romantic in a film.
It just left
me feeling kind of icked out.
I
played that when it came out. I was really excited about that game, and I must have been about 21 when it came out, and it's the first game I can remember where I've just turned down the sex scene, because I was like, there is no chance that would happen, and it would just be weird. It was a real moment for me. Actually, sex can be weird and just not something to be pursued.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not a good idea.
Yeah. So with credit to David Cage, that was very much a growing up for me. So he did at least do that for me.
Did do a public service there.
Yes, precisely.
But let's hope that he gets the romance, if there is any, right in the next game, looks like a really... It has potential, but his games always have potential.
From what I've seen of it, it looks really kind of like my thing. And
It looks really... Maybe he can do a Danny Boyle and turn it around.
Maybe so. I'm hopeful, but not optimistic.
There's a caveat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for our final relationship, one that I picked, so I don't know if you pick it as well, but is Nate and Elena from Uncharted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought this was a lovely relationship up until the point she became a ball and chain in the fourth one. Yeah. But I thought they handled it really well. You know, there's all... you get the sense that there's going to be the kiss at the end of the movie thing, like those 80s movies always had, like Top Gun or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And they always handled it with, you know, lots of banter and, you know, just the characters really riffing off each other, bouncing off each other, and you just got a sense of this really great chemistry between them.
Yeah, it's got kind of that sort of Joss Whedon kind of back and forth. It's sort of unrealistic that how much they quip back and forth at each other, but you can buy it because you know this is a cartoony sort of setting.
Yeah, it's a romp. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I love that. You know, my favorite bit is the bit in Tibet where she nearly died, and so she's like, you know, out of 1 to 10, how worried were you? And he's like, I wasn't worried. And she's like, you were bawling. And he's like, no, it was raining. And she, you know, and it's just like, it's so lovely the way they deal with it. You know, and it makes you go, oh, but in the nicest way without doing this sloppy. And the weird, you don't have to sit through the weird video game kiss that doesn't look real.
That was a problem that Uncharted 4 fixed, I think. That had the realest looking kiss I think I've seen.
It did. Yeah, because her nose pushes to the side. I was just like agog. I was just like, that is amazing. It's just such a nice bit of observation by the artists.
When I went home for a family thing the other day, the other week, I took my PS4, and my brother was like, you've got to bring your PS4, I need to play Uncharted 4. He's a big fan of the original three. So I brought that back, and basically I sat by him and watched it, and he had the exact same reaction to that kiss as well. He was like, nose moved.
Yeah, incredible. But I just think that's a great video game relationship that I really loved and invested in.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was a shame the way they sidelined her in the fourth one.
It was, and I think it was kind of an artifact of them making that game more realistic and a bit more serious. Mm. And it turns out that the relationship that they had in the three previous games was written in such a way that it didn't really transfer into seriousness in the same way that other aspects of that game did.
Yeah.
So, you've got the back and forth and the banter, and it's, oh, they'll kiss at the end because they're having fun with it. And in Uncharted 4, the kind of part of her character is that, in the fourth game, kind of the point of it is that she's not having fun with it, even though they do turn out to be both having fun with it at the end, so that kind of gets annulled. But it doesn't transfer in the same way as all the other aspects do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think they just didn't stay true to the relationship they'd set up in the first place.
No.
Because there is, I just never bought into the idea that Nate wouldn't have said, look, my long-lost brother has turned up. He's in trouble. And it's not like she was, you know, Betty Crocker or something and just liked baking muffins at home and always wanted him to be home by 10 o'clock or whatever. She was an adventurer. That's how he met her. And,
yeah, like,
you know,
sort of the plot of the first game is that she keeps bringing herself along with him. She's like, oh, I'm doing this as well. This is my thing.
And then in the second game, she's not there because she's doing her own stuff, you know. And then they meet up, and, you know, she's like, oh, what are you doing here? Don't tell, you know. And then it's like that in the third game as well. And then in this game, she's like the figure of domesticity and the sort of the thing that's holding him back, when really she isn't.
Yeah.
She's saying, take the Malaysia job, but he's not taking it, and then he goes off on this secret mission, and she's totally happy for him to be in Malaysia when he says he's going. So it just doesn't make any sense, and it's not true to who they've been all the way through the games.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just a convenient way to get her out of the picture so that Sam could be in the picture.
Yep, I mean, no, no disagreements there.
Yeah, there's not much arguing, but up until that point, they had a lovely relationship. Yeah. And it looks like in the end, they live happily ever after.
Yeah, they do kind of go back to that at the end. Like, there's that scene with the kiss that just before that happened. It's the scene after all the sort of exploding mummies, and then you sort of fall off a big incline. You both land on your back, and Nate goes over and makes some quip to her, and she doesn't respond. Mm. And it kind of looks like she's dead, and he sort of starts to panic, and then she just opens her eyes and she goes, my hero, and she's taking the piss out of him, and I just thought that was such an amazing
moment. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's good. She's a great character.
She is, except for the first two-thirds of Uncharted 4, she is a fantastic character.
Yeah. Well done, naughty dog. And there endeth the romantic interlude of Uncharted.
Yeah,
Toss.
I think so.
We've done it. Let us know your favourite video game romances.
Yeah, in the comments, or, you know, email us, or Twitter us, or Twitchell, or at least.
Yeah.
You know, just throw messages through my window wrapped around bricks. We want to know what you think.
Okay. Cheers, Drew.
Cheerio. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of Argue the Toss, and why wouldn't you, you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Argue the Toss. You can also find our RSS feed on our main page at GameIndustry.com. If you don't use iTunes and you use another podcast player, that should work fine with it.
We're also on SoundCloud. Look for Argue the Toss. Our host, of course, is GameIndustry.com, so you can talk to us via the Twitter page there, which is @GinLounge. You can also find us on YouTube, and Game Industry News is also on Facebook, on Google Plus, and all those good social media things. So give us a thumbs up, give us a like, tell us what you like. It's awesome. You're awesome for listening. Thank you so much.
Nailed it.